are Locked On Giants, your daily New York Giants podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, New York Giant fans. Welcome to another edition of Locked On Giants Podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. I am Patricia Traynor, your host, and we have a very, very busy show for you today. We have the long-awaited interview with Michael Thomas, New York Giants defensive back and co-captain. Drop by and spend a good 20 minutes or so talking about the Giants and some other things. So we will play that for you in two segments on the show, the first two segments. And then we will wrap up the show with the leftover questions we weren't able to get to on Twitter Thursday. I went down the list and I was able to get to the remaining questions in the final, which I will present to you in the final segment. Before we go on and play the interview with Michael Thomas, I just want to remind everybody that the Giants are in a bye week. They will continue to be in a bye till Monday. They are off on Monday because they have the Monday night game. So we will be back, though, with a program on Monday. Monday's show is going to be pretty special. We're going to have more interviews with celebrity Giant fans, actually. I've been teasing this all week. I have a actor from the Seinfeld television series coming on who's a big Giant fan. He's going to come on. We're going to talk a little bit of football. I have a local celebrity, former college athlete who's coming on, who's also a big Giant fan. We're going to talk a little bit of football just to kind of change things up a little bit, get some different perspectives in there. And then starting next Tuesday, we will, of course, get back into the swing of things when the Giants report back to work and start getting ready for their Monday night game the following week against the San Francisco 49ers. So a lot of stuff coming up. And as always, appreciate you listening and your questions and your comments and feedback. Be sure to subscribe, if you're not already doing so, to our podcast. It's available on iTunes, Spotify, and any place you can find podcasts. And feedback is always welcome. Okay, so without any further delay, let's jump right into the interview with Michael Thomas, and I hope you enjoy it. I'm joined now by Michael Thomas, the defensive back and special teams captain of the New York Giants. Michael, thank you so much for taking some time out of your schedule to come on with me.
Oh, Patricia, man, no problem. The pleasure's mine.
Well, you're a doll for doing this. Mike, let's jump right into football for a moment here. Obviously, you know, 1-7, not the results anyone expected. Coach Shermer and a lot of your teammates, though, have been saying that this team is close to turning it around. And I know I get this question a lot on Twitter, and I'd like you to maybe help me with this one because I'm not quite sure how to answer it. But what do you think is standing in the way of this team from going from being close to being there?
Just believing, man. Like, taking advantage of every opportunity we have to win the game and just, like, trusting and knowing that we can win the game. And, like, a lot of people might ask, okay, what is that? It's, hey, when we have a chance to catch an interception on defense, let's catch that interception, give the team a short field. You know, offense, you know, when they have a chance to, like, you know, make some crucial catches to, you know, extend some drives and get some first downs or score in the red zone, you know, catch a pass in the end zone, score in the red zone, you know, you got to make those catches. Or, you know, so it's things like that, knowing and believing that, you know, we're going to be in the game, especially late in the game, and, you know, and knowing that, okay, we're just one play away. You never know when that play is going to happen. Just go out there and make those plays when they come to us. And we've had our fair share, you know, me included, you know, a couple times, like, you know, I got a PBU in the Carolina Panthers game, but, you know, if I catch that interception, you know, we win the game. So, you know, it's things like that, believing and just going out and making that play.
It's got to be frustrating when you're just so close. You know you're almost there, but yet, for whatever reason, it just doesn't come to you. I got to imagine that's frustrating.
Oh, definitely. It's frustrating. None of us thought we'd be here, but this is where we're at. So, it's how do we respond from here? And, you know, you're going to see a lot of people, you know, it's going to test our character. You know, it's going to people's going to say, you know, so the true colors, you know, okay, how do you respond now? Like, you're 1-7. Are you going to go out there? You're going to lay down? You're going to quit? You're going to give up? Or are you going to go out here and make it happen? You're going to go out here and work and try to get this thing fixed, you know, and then that's the mindset we all have. And, you know, And you got some great guys, some great leaders in this locker room. Obviously, the talent is there. Nobody was expecting us to have this 1-7 start. So, you know, obviously, guys are going to go out there and compete. But, like, let's go out here and finish and get it done, man. Let's start talking about it.
Sounds good. Sounds good. You know, Mike, this last game against Washington, the defense was without Damon Harrison, Eli Apple, and Alec Ogletree, who was injured. Yet, for the most part, the defense played well enough to win. I think you held Washington to about 13 points for most of the game until that last touchdown run by Adrian Peterson. Can you just take us through some of the dynamics involving rebuilding verbal and nonverbal communications, trust, synergy, and all that stuff when suddenly you're missing three guys who have been with you basically since the very beginning?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, anytime you lose starters, regardless if it's injury or in this case by trade or both, you know, it's difficult because, or it's different for guys because, like you said, these are the guys you've been communicating with and building a relationship with since OTAs. But at the same time, that's the nature of this business, you know. You know, one guy goes down and, you know, across the league, the mindset is what? Next man up. And, you know, that next guy, he has to be ready. He should have been training and preparing as if he was the starter since day one, even though he wasn't in the game. And, you know, that was our mindset going into this game, man. Like, okay, Trees hurt. He's not going to be out there with us battling. So the linebackers that come in, hey, we can't miss a beat. Matter of fact, you got to be prepared and play even harder and play even better. You know, we lost two starters and Snacks and Eli, you know, getting traded. Okay, well, shoot, some young guys are going to get some opportunities to go in and play at DB and on D-line. So, hey, let's go. Let's go make a play. Go make a name for yourself. And, you know, that's what it comes down to. The communication has to pick up because, again, these guys haven't been in there the whole time and they're not used to, you know, just feeling it out like how most guys were with the other guys in there. So it's like we have to communicate. And for the most part, we did that. And, you know, as a defense, regardless of what's going on with, you know, the phase of the special teams, the phase of the offense, you know, we've been holding guys down, you know, playing well. And then, you know, it's been a trend of like, okay, that fourth quarter giving up that long run at the end when they end up scoring, right? So that's something we're challenging ourselves to say, hey, no, let's not be great for 3.5 quarters or, you know, for a whole game besides the last drive, and they leak out a long run, so now they're over 100 rushing yards. Like, no, let's finish our games, and just regardless of what else happens, you know, we're going to play, you know, a solid game for four quarters.
Does something change, though? You mentioned, you know, letting extra yardage or a long run or a score. Does something change along the way? Is it fatigue? Is it, you know, do the offenses play you guys differently? Why do you think the defense, you know, you're able to go 3.5 quarters and then all of a sudden there's that one play that just kind of blows the lid off things?
It's no one thing. It's not to say, oh, you know, it's or guys aren't focusing, you know, are we pressing, like, hey, we have to get this stop, and then, you know, like, I don't think it's that. I just think, you know, we have to finish. You can't be great for 3.5 quarters and they break a long one. Like I said, now the guy's over 100 rushing yards and, you know, scores a rushing touchdown or, you know, give up that long pass at the end. You know, like, it can't be that. It has to be a focus. The same focus we had for 3.5 quarters, let's focus and finish on this one because that other team, they're focusing and trying to win the game and put the game away. You know, like, so it's just like, okay, when we really need it, we just got to get that stop, man, and that's it.
You mentioned some of the young guys, like B.J. Hill, Lorenzo Carter. Goodson is still a young guy. Collins is still a young guy. Having had a front row seat to watch those guys do their thing, I mean, can you honestly say that there's a nice core involved there with that defense going forward?
Oh, definitely. Like, with all these, like you said, it's a bunch of young guys out there getting a lot of reps, and with that only comes, you know, game experience, and there's no substitute for getting game experience other than getting out there and playing. And they haven't just been out there just playing and getting reps; they've been playing well and putting a lot of good stuff on tape. So, you know, obviously we don't want to just play for the future; we want to win right now. We're trying to figure out how can we get a win right now. But, you know, it's only going to help those guys moving forward. It's only going to help this Giants defense move forward.
Mike, as we tape this, you guys are just starting your bye week, and a term we hear a lot during a bye week is self-scout. And can you just explain to our listeners about the process from both a team perspective and from an individual perspective, in this case, obviously, your perspective, what that entails, how you know, a team and how a player goes about that process?
Yeah, Oh, definitely. So just I'll start with defense first. We look at, okay, what's hurt us in the past? What type of plays have hurt us in the past? What coverage were we in when those plays hurt us? And, you know, are there some tails that we're giving away? Is it because we're playing it a certain way? Is it a certain down and distance that we're struggling with? And you're just trying to fix it. Okay, what are the problems? What are the solutions to trying to fix it? And that's what self-scouting really comes down to. You know, is it a technique? Is it a certain call? Is it a certain play in a certain situation? And how can we fix and improve it? And you do that across the board. Special teams, like, you know, they brought me here, you know, obviously last year, I guess they weren't where, you know, they weren't where they wanted to be in a lot of places, but special teams was one of them, I think, you know, ranked 32nd in a lot of categories on special teams. So it's like, okay, we're doing very well on, I think, kickoff and very well on punt. Kickoff return has been going in the right direction. But punt return is like our Achilles heel. So our self-scout is, okay, let's work on drills to make sure our punt return gets up. We've been getting, you know, with the insertion of Quandre Henderson, number 15, like he's been returning well these last couple games. So we, you know, we're starting to climb, but it's, okay, how do we make sure that we're working on things that we need to work on? And if it's punt return, then making sure we emphasize that. So, and the same thing on offense as well. So, you know, those are the type of things. You self-scout, what are we doing well? What are we not doing well? What are the problems and how can we find a solution to it?
You're listening to Locked On Giants. I'm Patricia Traina, joined by Giants defensive back and special teams co-captain Michael Thomas. We're going to take a quick break, and then when we're going to come back, and Mike's going to tell us about some of the exciting off-field stuff he has going on. So stay with us. Hey, Giant fans, interested in being a sponsor of the Locked On Giants podcast? Well, reach out to us today because we have a special second half of the season package available to get your company on Locked On Giants. For more information, email us at lockedongiantspodcast@gmail.com to get the details, and you can hear your company's name mentioned right here on this podcast on a daily, semi-daily, or weekly basis. We look forward to hearing from you. All right, Giant fans, welcome back to Locked On Giants. Patricia Traina here with special guest Mike Thomas of the New York Giants. And Mike, let's turn to some of the amazing stuff that you have been doing off the field. Sorry. I mean, I don't know how you do it, managing a football career, managing your off-field stuff, managing a family. I mean, since arriving here, I mean, you've jumped right into the New York community, the tri-state area community, that is basically getting to know you at the same time as you getting to know it. So how hard has that initially been, you know, after uprooting your life, having to move to a new place, find new stores, new hangouts, get your children situated in schools? I mean, how difficult is that to just jump into that?
Oh, nah, man. For me, in my family, I mean, my wife, my daughter, they love it out here. It's been a great transition. It's just the second time I've had to switch teams, which is, you know, that's a blessing. Haven't had to do it as many times as, you know, a lot of guys in the league have had to, even in a seven-year career. It's been great. And when it comes to, like, just immersing myself in the community, I mean, that's what I do. I feel like, you know, one of the things I believe in is just because it's been instilled in me from my parents and, you know, the examples I've had growing up from different community leaders, you know. If you're blessed with a lot, you know, it's because you're meant to be a blessing to others. And every time, you know, I see myself or I see an opportunity to get involved with either education or, you know, providing resources to, like, underprivileged youth in different communities, especially, you know, African-American brown communities, that's just where I come from, so that's where my heart's at, you know, like that. I don't care where I'm at. I'm going to immerse myself in it and, you know, try to give back as much as I can. And that's what the Giants have been, you know, in the forefront of doing that since I've gotten here. They're like, Mike, what have you done in the past? You know, what are you trying to get into here? Okay, you want to talk education? We these are the schools that we go and talk to. You want to do stuff with politics? Okay, these are the different resources we have to, like, get involved with that. So, I mean, it's been an easy transition for me just based on the organization and just, you know, what's going on throughout this community.
Great. And let's talk about, I think this one is a fairly recent one for you. It's a collaboration with Ashanti for Children's Anxiety. What can you tell us about that?
Man, now that was fun. So it was me, my teammate, BJ Goodson, and Ashanti. So we all like partnered up, got in the studio, actually wrote a song with Grammy Award winner Stephen Batty. You know, was able to like write out lyrics and, you know, collaborate and perform the song and recorded the song. Talking about, I know what it feels like, and it's talking about childhood anxiety because, you know, 25% of children suffer from anxiety these days, and, you know, it's tough, and you never know what kids are going through, you know, either at their home or, you know, personally, and I can attest to it because, like, it doesn't matter what your situation is or, you know, you're well off, you're not well off, you come from humble beginnings or not, you know, anxieties are there, and, you know, it's not fair for kids to go through that alone, and we just wanted to let them know that, you know, somebody's here for them, somebody cares, you know, if they need somebody to talk to, you know, they can talk to us, and us recording the song was fun, you know, we had a lot of fun in the studio, so look forward to that coming out, you know, like, please look out for it, it might even come out on iTunes, I'm hearing, so, like, yeah, I might have a platinum song one of these days.
Oh, wow, that would be exciting, and I think BJ Goodson was involved in that as well, right?
Yeah, so that's what I'm saying. So it was cool to have a teammate in there. Like I said, we had so much fun in the studio with it. We all have, like, stories to tell. You know, we're able to relate to it. So it was definitely a fun experience.
I might have to have you sing for me sometime. those golden flags there.
Wait, look, I wasn't singing. I was rapping. I only had four boys rapping, so like, it was simple.
Oh, that's awesome. Mike, another thing I read that you were involved with, I don't know if you still are, but the Points of Light Foundation, which I found interesting because that, if I read everything correctly, that's about being a mentor. And as a veteran at this point in your career, you're obviously not only a player, you're also a mentor to a lot of your young teammates. Can you just speak about how, you know, being a mentor on the football field and being a mentor off the football field to a totally different audience, mind you, just how the two things have kind of meshed together and you know, your approach to all that?
Oh, definitely. So, all my life, even since I was, I guess, a kid, you know, deemed or looked at from both peers, teachers, you know, people in the community, like, oh, Mike, you're a leader amongst, you know, amongst your peers and whatnot, and both on the field or within sports and, you know, just in the classroom or in the community. So, for me, it meshes well just because you want to be that same person on the field and off the field. Even if you're competing or you're not competing. If you're in the classroom or not, you know, dealing with your family, dealing with friends, it doesn't matter. And you just want to be someone that, you know, others feel like they can come and talk to if they're going through something. I guess empathy is a word people use now. Like, you know, being relatable, man. Just like, okay, what's going on, man? Like, you know, I'm not. A lot of times I talk to my teammates, it's like, okay, look, I'm not talking to you about ball right now. I'm talking about you about life. And, like, a lot of guys appreciate that because, you know, just in football, it can be stressful. So a lot of guys, you know, naturally they'll say, okay, yeah, Mike, he's a captain, not just because of, you know, how hard he works on the field. Like, we all get respect on the field by the way we play. And, you know, like, that's a given. Like, you don't even have to be a leader. You're going to get respect if you're a good player. You're going to be deemed, you know, as a good, you know, as somebody that everybody looks up to if you can play well. That's just how you get respect in the game. But even in football and in a locker room, guys look at leaders as somebody who, like, they feel like they can go and talk to. That's somebody who has good character on and off the field. Like, somebody who, you know, has a high standard and going to be the same person every single day. Somebody that, you know, it's clear that everybody respects. So that's what happens on the field or in the locker room. And then off the field, it's just like trying to be that same person even to those who don't know me. You know, when they see me, it shouldn't have to be, oh, he's a football player, so let's listen. So I'm like, no, like, I'm going to give you advice. I'm going to try to give you resources if you need them. You know, just try to be a good friend. I try to be the same person to, you know, my family, you know, my daughter, and just try to exemplify, you know, what it's like to be like a God, you know, I'm religious, what it's like to be like a God-fearing man, and, you know, just try to do the right things at all times.
Mike, is that hard, though, in the locker room especially? I mean, because some guys come in to a new locker room and they're, you know, they kind of want to feel their way around, kind of earn their keep, if you will. Some guys just want to let it develop organically. You seem to have just jumped right in with both feet, and it's worked out well for you from what I can tell. I mean, but is that still hard?
No, I mean, you definitely want to have a balance. I definitely wasn't the guy that came in and was like, hey, look, you know, they signed me in here to get this stuff right, so y'all better listen to me. It's like, nah, man, I came in here, I was just real with everybody. You know, when you knew you don't really want to talk too much, you do want to kind of get a feel, but at the same time, you want to be yourself, you know, like, so everybody got to see Mike Thomas from Mike Thomas, you know, they got to see the real me from the jump, and apparently that's what everybody like, you know what I'm saying, so it worked with me so far, and just trying to be, again, available to everybody, like, y'all want to chop it up, let's chop it up. We can talk football, we can talk life, you know, we can talk about what's going on, you know, outside the football field. And, it's been easy. And then this organization has a great group of guys in this locker room, man. Like, so it was easy for me to come in and fit in and, you know, let them know, you know, I'm here for them. And then, you know, it's crazy to think year seven, you know, I've been in the league for 7 years that, you know, I'm a vet, you know, like, I think I'm still young, still trying to, you know, just entering my prime. They're like, nah, you the vet. They call me Uncle Mike and stuff. So it's crazy. So all those guys are super young. It's a fun experience. Got a bunch of guys that look up to you. Obviously, you've earned your respect based on what you've done in the past on the football field. So, you know, guys look at that as well. So, I mean, it was easy for me to, like, just come in and be myself and fit in.
Uncle Mike, my gosh. Next time they tell you that, tell them that some of the coaches have shoes that are older than you, you know?
Right. No, it's all good, man. I embrace it. Yeah, I just call them nephew. It's all good.
Mike, one last question before I let you go. The holidays, of course, are approaching. There are, unfortunately, a lot of sad Giant fans out there. As one of the leaders on that team, what's your message to those folks who bleed blue, but yet who have been just, you know, literally crying their eyes out over the misfortunes of this team?
Oh, yeah. Just want to let y'all know, man, look, we're working every single day. We don't take one day being out here for granted. We don't take any of y'all, you know, rooting for us and supporting us every single day, every single game day as well, you know, for granted. Like, trust us. We're out here every day trying to make this thing work, trying to get this thing right, trying to fix it. So keep trusting us, keep believing in us. Do not falter, do not waver in your support for us. We're gonna get it right, we're gonna get back in this win column.
Michael, excellent stuff. Before I let you go, anything as far as what you have coming up, any your website foundation, anything you want to share with the listeners out there?
Just be on the lookout, you know, on everything that, you know, Mike Thomas that I do based on with my the Michael Thomas Dream Builders Foundation. We got some stuff coming up in these next couple months, you know, dealing with, again, with childhood anxiety, dealing again with the Giants and stuff for the holidays. So yeah, just be on the lookout for Michael Thomas Dream Builders Foundation, as well as, you know, next win we get, you know, obviously we got to get back in the W column. Me auctioning off my game one jerseys, because those proceeds 100% goes toward me giving away my academic scholarship.
Awesome stuff, Mike. Really appreciate you coming on. Giant fans, make sure you follow him on Twitter. Make sure you keep up with all the news. Well, a lot of good things going on with this man's life. Mike, we appreciate you coming on, and enjoy the bye week, and good luck to you, the team, in turning this thing around.
Thank you so much, Patricia.
All right. That was Michael Thomas of the New York Giants. Giant fans, stay tuned. We'll be back with another segment after this. All right, welcome back, Giant fans. Special thanks again to Michael Thomas, defensive back of the New York Giants, who was kind enough to stop by and chat for a little while. Always a pleasure to hear from him. Always great to see what he's got going on in the community. And above all, you know, always great to get some insight as to how the team is trying to get this season back on track. All right, as we enter the third segment of our program today, I promised you in yesterday's show, Twitter Thursday, that I would try and get to some of the other questions that I wasn't able to get to due to time constraints. So I have those fired up and on a screen in front of me, and I'm going to jump right in and try and answer as many of those as I can. All right, starting off with a very generic question. Ben Green wants to know if this is the worst Giants team I have covered. For those of you who don't know, I've been on the beat now for over 20 years, so I have been there for the highs and the lows. And Ben, I have to honestly say, no, this isn't the worst team that I have covered. I would put last year's team probably up there with one of the worst covered, just because of the dysfunction in the locker room, the whole environment. I mean, you walked into the building and it almost felt like a war zone. Last year, it was just not a, you know, fun place to be around. This year, you know, yes, the results aren't quite, you know, different from last year, but you sense there's effort being made. You don't sense that the locker room has splintered in any way, shape, or form. The guys, as Michael said, are working to try to correct it. They don't like the results any more than you and I might like them. So it's just a different vibe. I can't quite explain it. But with that said, I will admit covering losing games week after week after week, that can certainly wear on you. And, you know, I'm just thankful for the bye week this week as I record this. And hopefully when we come out of the bye, things will be a little bit more promising. All right, Antoine wants to know, what kind of personnel moves headed into the bye and coming out of the bye could you see the Giants making on the field with the players they already have? Antoine, not a whole lot, because the roster is what it is. Now, a couple of things we probably want to keep an eye on is Chad Wheeler, who has the ankle injury. Will he be ready to go come 2 weeks from Monday? I saw Wheeler, you know, walking around the locker room. He wasn't on crutches, but he did have a boot on. But again, they've got a couple weeks before they have to play a game. So hopefully with treatment, he will be ready to go. Otherwise, you're looking at Brian Mihalik at right tackle. I'm curious to see if they put Jamon Brown, the new guard that they acquired off waivers, into the lineup. My guess is they will not do that until they bring him up to speed. So he'll probably just be, you know, offensive line depth for the time being. You know, I know there was talk that maybe Kyle Lauletta would step in for Eli Manning. I don't think now that is going to happen, certainly not coming out of the bye week. I still believe that as long as the Giants are mathematically alive in the playoff hunt, which they are, believe it or not, I think Eli will be behind center. Maybe in December we might see Kyle Lauletta get in a few snaps here and there, but, you know, obviously his arrest throws a monkey wrench in any plans. So we'll have to just see how that plays out. As for other personnel changes, I'm just going off the top of my head. I just don't know that there's that many more they can do this year. So I think what we do have to pay attention to includes scheme changes, you know, little tweaks and whatnot. And if you go back and just listen to what Michael said when I asked about self-scouting and, you know, what can they correct and all that stuff, he spoke about, you know, technique. He talked about, you know, changing up little things, you know, without necessarily making major wholesale changes, which I know are needed. But, you know, at this point in the season, you're just not going to get a whole new playbook and whatnot. So so we'll see. It's going to be interesting to see what changes they come up with. And I think some of them will be noticeable and some of them might not be as noticeable. But hopefully, again, it leads to better results. Idonio De Leon wants to know, if you would have the opportunity to choose 20 Giant players to build around, who would you pick? Okay, I, of course, don't have a roster, the latest roster handy. Oh, actually, I do. So I'm going to try and go down this list and give you 20 players. This should be fairly simple for me. All right. I'm going to say Aldrick Rosas. I'm going to say Riley Dixon. Beckham, for certain. I think Kyle Lauletta will be on this roster. So that's 4. Landon Collins, I think, will be on the roster is 5. Let's see. Saquon Barkley, 6. I think Michael Thomas, the defensive back, will be here next year, 7. Let me see. Grant Haley would be 8. I think Alec Ogletree will be back. I would say he'll probably be here next year. I think Olivier Vernon will be here. So that would be 10. Lorenzo Carter, for sure. Let's see, going down the list here. Will Hernandez, Kerry Wynn, that would be 12. Let's see, who else? Nate Solder will be here because of the contract. Sterling Shepard, for sure. Evan Ingram, I think, will be here. So that's, what, 14? Dalvin Tomlinson and B.J. Hill, that those two for sure will be here, 16. And I think Quadri Henderson will be here, so that's 18. And I believe, I'm going to say two of the young running backs that are currently on the practice squad, Jarrell Presley and Robert Martin. If no other team signs those guys, I could see those two guys being on the roster as centerpieces, you know, especially with Jonathan Stewart unlikely to be back. And I'm starting to wonder if Wayne Gallman is going to be much longer to this team. So I think I've given you 20 names there. If I'm short one, I apologize, but those would be some of the names I would build around. And if I didn't say it, I think Vernon is going to be back as well. They didn't move him in a trade, so I think they potentially bring him back as well. Great question, and thank you for that fun question. Vin wants to know, based on your 20-plus years of football writing experience, how long do you think it will take the New York Giants to get back into playoff mode? Vin, we're looking at a multi-year rebuild. There's no other way to put it. Unfortunately, it took years of bad drafts and personnel decisions to ruin this team. I think it's going to take years to rebuild it. Dave Gettleman had a solid draft this year. Some of the personnel decisions didn't quite pan out. I think they were meant to be temporary, you know, like Band-Aids, if you will, until he is able to get in there with the draft and really do what he needs to do. The thing you've got to remember is that if I remember last year, Gettleman was fired by the Panthers, I want to say in July, just before the start of training camp. He was not hired by the Giants until December. So there was a gap there where, you know, he maybe wasn't up to speed on, you know, what scouting had been done or, you know, any organizational meetings. So he pretty much had to hit the ground running and do what he could. I think now that he's going to have a full year under his belt, you're going to see even more improvements coming through. And hopefully that includes better decisions in the free agency market. Tim Coffey wants to know, at what point do we honestly think about stripping play calling from Shurmur? I don't think that's going to happen, Tim. First of all, that is the head coach's decision. Now, to back up a little bit, I am not a fan of a head coach calling his own plays. I know it's been done. I know it can be done successfully. I do not like the concept myself. You look at Ben McAdoo last year, you're always thinking 3-4 plays ahead. And that means you're not paying attention to other stuff that you should be managing. And I just don't feel comfortable with that. With that said, Shurmur's play calling is affected by what he has and what he does not have currently on offense. And we can all agree the offensive line has not been a strong point. So when you are constantly having your quarterback beaten to a pulp week after week after week, there's only so many things you can do. You know, if you have your tight end constantly dropping passes or your receivers dropping passes, you know, what's a play caller supposed to do? So I would say, let's see what happens next year when they get some more talent in and see if perhaps Shurmur's play calling will suddenly improve. Will from China asks, do you think the last game of the season against Dallas will be the last one for Eli? If so, I will apply for the visa, book the flight, and reserve the hotel, buy the ticket, and show the big cardboard "We love Eli" thank you card. Oh, that's so sweet. Will, thank you so much for the question. And thank you for listening, by the way. Hard to say. I would think this could be Eli's last year, given the contract. I don't know that. But what I will say is my gut feeling says that if this is Eli's last year, it will be his decision. He will retire if he has had enough or if he believes that, you know, this team just isn't going in the right direction. I am not 100% convinced the Giants will move on from him with his contract, only because, as I have said, you look at the factors around him, the offensive line play, the play, you know, the inconsistency by the receivers and getting open and dropping passes, you know, the job done blocking by the tight ends. This is more of a team failure than it is a quarterback failure. I know everybody wants to get rid of Eli, but, you know, like it or not, I think he still gives them the best chance to win. He's been there. He's done that. He's got experience. And, you know, no, he doesn't move around in the pocket that much. He doesn't run with the ball. But, you know, if you give the guy time and you give him, you know, you do what you're supposed to, he can be effective. All right. Next question comes from Mac. Wants to know about any adjustments the Giants have made to buy Eli more time on the offensive line. Right now, Mac, it's about what they may do going forward. You know, the problem they've had is they've had multiple combinations of that offensive line come in. And unfortunately, I think, you know, that every time you put a new piece in there, even though they say next man up and all that stuff, there's a gelling process involved. There's a tendency, you have to learn verbal and nonverbal cues about what the guy next to you is thinking. And I just think because of that rotation that they have been forced into, I'm just not sure that they had that cohesiveness. And I question whether or not they're going to find that cohesiveness anytime soon. So, you know, we'll see if they have some ideas to whether it be to slide protection one way, you know, max protect or whatnot. But basically, you know, the tight ends aren't doing the best job with blocking. That's been disappointing. And I'm just really not sure what else they can do right now, short of, you know, buying an actual wall and putting that up there between Eli Manning and the defense. So we'll keep an eye on that and maybe revisit that question after the bye, after we've seen a couple of games. John F. wants to know, why is the offensive line this bad? John, again, you know, you've had, first of all, the Giants took a flyer on a couple of players. Patrick Omame, who had been a career left guard, moving over to the right side, and flipping Eric Flowers from the left side to the right side. Neither move worked out. All right. So right off the bat, that put them behind the eight ball. And then you look at Nate Solder, who I know everybody is disappointed in. Nate Solder, in case you haven't noticed, has been playing with a very heavy apparatus on one of his arms, which to me says he's got some kind of injury. And I wonder how much between that injury and the fact that he is playing next to a rookie who he is trying to help. And if there are times when you watch him on film, you can actually see he's worrying a lot more about Will Hernandez than he is probably about what he should be doing. I just wonder if between all that and plus the fact that if you look at what he did in New England when he was blocking for Tom Brady, he was able to get by with what he's doing now for the Giants, which unfortunately is not going to fly. So I'm not ready to give up on Nate Solder yet, but, you know, bottom line, nobody on that offensive line is playing well. Okay, next question comes from Tony Thomas. Wants to know about the offensive line. With the articles posted, wouldn't it suggest that it's not just the personnel, but coaching, training, and discipline? Bingo, Tony, you get no argument from me. As Chris Bisignano of the Giants Insider and I discussed on Wednesday's show, we talked about Hal Hunter, who is a very nice man. He was out of the league last year. You know, he was brought on as the Giants' offensive line coach. That unit, unfortunately, has regressed. It has gone backwards. And when a unit goes backwards, and forget about, you know, for a moment, the different personnel combinations they have put in there. When that unit is going backwards, you got to look at the coaching. All right. If it's truly next man up, these guys got to be ready to go. And I'm just not always seeing that. You know, there's too many breakdowns, mental mistakes and what have you with line calls, with assignment errors, you know, or what I believe to be assignment errors. You know, so that's you got to throw coaching into that mix. Absolutely. Absolutely. All right. So thanks for that question. One more for today. And I think I will have answered all of them. So again, thank you guys for all these great questions. This one's from Jeff C. And it's about analytics. And he wants to know let's see, at the beginning of the fourth quarter, last Giant game, down one touchdown. Has to do about the two-point conversion. What was the difference between, I think, the last game and the situation this game? Jeff, bottom line with analytics, especially with the two-point analytic thing, when you are struggling to run the ball and you are struggling to pass the ball and get it into the end zone, my feeling is you throw analytics out the door and you go with your strength, which right now, believe it or not, is their place kicker, Aldrick Rosas. You take the points, all right? Now, I know you have a 50-50 chance of making it, but, you know, if you try to go for it or if you try a two-point conversion on a run or a pass, but you got to take the points. You're having trouble scoring, and to me, to not go for it, it's just, you know, I just don't get it. I know what the math says. I don't always agree with it. You know, it's the good thing about analytics is it can be bent to suit your argument, I think, in a lot of cases. You know, it's like statistics. You can take a statistic and you can twist it any way you want to suit your narrative. And, you know, it's just, to me, analytics are the same way. I use them. I do appreciate them and the people who put them together. But the bottom line is you've got to look at, you got to look at trends. You know, what are the trends? Is the team having trouble scoring? Are they successful? You know, what's going on? And I just, going back to that two-point decision the other day or a couple games ago, I did not agree with it. But I tend to be old school. I tend to be conservative, as I'm sure you guys know. And, you know, that's just how I would have approached it. So, all right, Giant fans, so on that note, I want to thank Mike Thomas again for stopping by. I want to thank all of you who sent in the Twitter questions and waited so patiently the extra day for me to get to them. As always, you want to send in Twitter questions for a Twitter Tuesday, you can send them to LockedOnGiants@gmail.com. You can tweet them to me at Patricia_Trana or LockedOn_Giants. And I will, of course, pick as many as I can and try to answer them on Tuesdays usually. Thank you for listening. And make sure you tune in next week when I have a special guest coming from the television series Seinfeld, who happens to be a very big Giant fan. We're going to have this group hug, I have a feeling, at the end of this interview. So you will not want to miss it. Take care. Have a great weekend. And we'll talk to you on Monday.